I want to begin reading from John chapter 9. I actually have our text verse for our text this morning up on the wall. But I want to read from John chapter 9 real quick. A story of the blind man that Jesus healed in a very unusual way. And then I'll have a short prayer. Then refer to this verse, this powerful verse of Romans 3:23. John chapter 9, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spit and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay." Do you think Jesus would have shocked anyone the way he did things? You know, we read this story, we know the outcome. We've seen the overview, at least most of us have, of Jesus, and we know who he is. But if you just walked up on this, would you be a little taken back by it? A blind man, he spits on the ground, makes mud in the clay, and puts it on the man's eyes. Verse 7 says, "And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. "And he went his way, therefore, washed, and came seeing." We get the impression sometimes from Scripture that Jesus' miracles were instantaneous. Some of them were, some of them weren't. This one wasn't. He made mud, put on his eyes, and said, "Go wash." The man could have decided, "Get this off me. What is this? I saw you speak to a crippled man in the temple and you were healed immediately. What is this about? I'm not doing this." God does things in unusual ways. Expect the unusual in your life. Don't try to put God in a box. Don't try to can him up. Put him in your little freeze-dried bag. Then if something comes along that changes that, you get all rattled. Just expect the unexpected from the start. Expect God to do things different than you prayed. Expect when you pray that God will do it a different way. And that's not the theme of my message this morning, but I need to say that to you. You'll get a long ways in your walk with the Lord when you realize that God works in very unusual ways. Do you know that God uses unusual people? Were you ever mad at somebody and then God used them in an unusual way? Just to show you that, hey, I'll use who I decide to use. Okay, could easily run off with that. Let's take a second and have prayer, and then I want to talk to you about this text verse. I'll come back to John 9 a little later. Lord, thank you for this privilege and opportunity. Give me skill, ability beyond myself this morning. I'd ask most of all, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on every word that's said today. Guide and direct as I try to get across something that's very close to my own heart, very, very important to me. And may our ears be open, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I believe there are two ways we can miss God's will for our life. And I'm talking to the American church this morning, which we're part of. I believe there's two ways that we can miss God's will for our lives. First of all, we can make the ultimate mistake of missing salvation. We know it's God's will for each person to be saved. one man has gone so far and this isn't necessary, but to figure the square footage in heaven and there's room for everybody that's ever lived. Did you know measurements are given in the Bible? The holy city, the New Jerusalem. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we know that it is God's will that we come to salvation, that we come to the cross, not the cross itself, the cross and what it represents. We don't idolize and worship objects, but the cross, what it represents, and that's the death and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We find forgiveness and experience rebirth. In John 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." 1 John 1:9, I believe I have on the wall, I do, says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." John 3:16, that most of you could say, or say at least part of it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It's God's will that we come to him. God is not willing that any perish. Now, we know some are going to perish. Well, Pastor, I thought God's will was always done. I thought, hearing people talk, I thought God's will was always done. I thought it was a done deal. Well, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But we know that not all are going to be saved, because it says in Revelation that some were cast in the lake of fire when John saw a vision of the end. I believe there are two ways, let me repeat again, I believe there are two ways we can miss God's will for our lives. One is to miss out on forgiveness and rebirth. But the one I want to focus on this morning is missing God's will on the next step. American church, missing out on experiencing the glory of the Lord. Earlier in the service, we made reference to the pearl of great price. Yes, there are two ways that we can miss out on God's will for our lives. We can miss salvation, which is God's will. He's not willing and he should perish. But we can choose another way, for God did a powerful thing when he gave us a will. But we also can miss out on experiencing the glory of the Lord in our life. I've got to get this across to you. This is probably a topic that's closer to my heart than anything else. I have a yearning, a desire. I don't have the best vocabulary to describe it. I have an intensity, a yearning and desire, an intensity about seeing American Christians experience the rest of what God has for them. And the reason I can speak on it with passion is because that God has taken me into that area myself and will take any of you that hunger for that. Brian's song was so on target this morning. He didn't know what I was going to preach on. I appreciate musicians who are led of the Spirit. American church, don't miss out on the glory that God wants to have in your life. Romans 12:2 says, after, I beseech you, Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is a reasonable service." Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Churches are packed with people. I'm not going to get specific, but whole denominations are built on the first half of what I'm preaching on. There are whole movements that cover our country, whole denominations, that it's just about salvation and coming, and you get your ticket to heaven, and now we write it out and wait till we get there. There is more. Hello. God has a level of glory. And I preach on this. I'll try to stay under control this morning because I have such a passion about this, because the Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," and some of you have. And when you taste that, you recognize how badly needed it is, and you're not happy with anything else. There is a level of glory that God wants in your life while you're here. It doesn't wait till heaven.
There is a transformation that he wants to do here in flesh and blood. Be ye not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you renew your mind, yes, you come, and it's his will that you're saved, and you experience rebirth. But so many stop there, and there are whole denominations. Yes, I said that. Whole denominations that the teaching stops there. And I've been careful about being specific, but over the years, at times when there's denominational names mentioned sometimes, I'll just go like this, because I know what their teaching and doctrine is. I've read it. I've studied it. There's another level of grace, of transformation, that God wants to do in our life. And you can spend your life, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but you can spend your life saying, oh, glory, hallelujah, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. But God wants to impart some heavenly things within you here and wants to transform you into a new creation in Christ. Be ye transformed, Romans 12:2. He puts it all around us so it will make sense to us. It's in the grass, my friends. It's in the flowers of the field, my friends. Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is the English word that we get from the root word in Romans 12:2, transformed. If you've taken a simple science class, you know what metamorphosis is. It's that process where the butterfly comes out. You're not supposed to spend your life in that cocoon, my friend. We're to become a butterfly at some point. The dark, brown, black soil. The roots in the darkness draw the nutrients, and it comes up and breaks into a lily and a beautiful flower. Metamorphosis. There is a level of glory that God is calling us to. I have written here, yes, I want to be forgiven. Yes, I want to go to heaven. It sounds sweeter all the time. But I don't want to miss the level of glory that God has for me. Early in my life and walk with the Lord, I became thirsty for that glory. Early in my walk with the Lord, stay with me. Early in my walk with the Lord, I became thirsty for that glory. May I stop here to ask older Christians, are you making anybody thirsty? Are you making anybody thirsty? Yes, you're in the flesh. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. You don't have your glorified body yet. You're going to have times you have to back up. You don't handle things right. But older Christians, the older we get, the more we get like the place we're going, as I shared last week. And as younger Christians look on at your life, there should be a thirst and say, that person's got something that I want. That person's got something that I want. Have you made anybody thirsty? Early in my life, I had the privilege of having some awesome examples of God's glory in people's lives. Pastor Bishop, oh, obviously he had experienced salvation. But he had renewed his mind and consecrated himself, Romans 12:1 and 2. And he had developed as a believer. And he had spent time with God. And he had, without bitterness, allowed God to walk him through the trials of life. I remember him kneeling at the altar as we would have our devotions together alone in the church in the mornings. I worked third shift and I would stop and have my devotions with him before I went home, went to bed. And he would sit there on the floor, Indian style, and talk to me. And I'd sit beside him and I would drink in every word he said. I look back, those were incredible days. His tears would run down his face and he told me about burying his two sons in Honduras as a missionary. Imagine Kevin and Abby going to Haiti with Jackson, Malachi, and Dylan and burying two of their sons there in the first couple of years. That personalizes a little bit. That's what Pastor Bishop and his wife went through. And as he sat there, and I was bitter and angry at my father and bitter and angry at a lot of people and had seen a lot of hypocrites and wanted nothing to do with church and just now coming back, and God put me with a man like this, and he sat here and talked about burying his sons, and with tears would run down his face and he'd say, God has been so good to me, Tom. And I'd look at him and think, I know that's real. I can see it in his tears.
How can he say, God is so good to me? He said, oh, I cried so hard. I remember making a casket out of Kentucky Fried Chicken box because we didn't have anything. And I constructed it the best I could and covered it with pretty paper so it would look nice for my wife when we had our funeral. And he said, I remember laying across the bed and sobbing. But he said, God was so close and so good to me, even in my loss. And I'm like, wow. Folks, that's metamorphosis. That's only God can do that. And then his wife contracted a disease they thought possibly from a mosquito bite in Honduras and ended up going into a coma while being there as a missionary. And ended up coming back to the States and took a church in Fort Wayne. And my father and he were friends. That's how I knew him. My father was serving in Haiti when I came back to the Lord, and I thought, who should I go to? I would go to my father. But he was in Haiti, and so I thought, who was a man that he thought so much of? And it was Pastor Bishop. So I begin, and isn't it interesting that during that time he took a transfer to a church in Peru? I've always believed I was just one of the people he came for, but I was one of them. I needed a man who had been tested on bitterness because I was bitter, and I was flunking the test pretty bad. I wasn't handling the trials of life very well. And he was surrendered to God and experiencing metamorphosis and drawing strength up, and lilies were being produced in his life. And I remember as he talked to me about going every day to the Lutheran hospital in Fort Wayne when they first came over from the mission field. Was it 6 years she lived? Yes. His wife lived 6 years, and he told me one time in 6 years she moved an eyebrow. And he went to the hospital with a hymnal and sang to her every day. They said it had an incredible impact on the nurses at the hospital. They would go in his room, and he's singing hymns to his wife. His daughter told me one time that she would hear her sobbing in the middle of the night and tiptoe down the hall and go in, and he'd have Mama's picture, his wife's picture, and he would be laying in bed holding it and crying. But that man would talk. He could not mention the love of God without tears running down his face. And how good God had been to him. And how that God took his hand and helped him through. And God was there every step of the way. And I need to tell you here that that caused a thirst to be born in me. And I thought, I don't know how you get this. And I'm not sure how this all works, but that is what I want. Have you made anybody thirsty? The American church isn't ready for Jesus to come. The American church isn't ready for Jesus to come. The American church isn't ready for the tribulation hour. We just have something go a little bit backwards. We're mad at God. It's a cursed world. Things aren't easy. I just read to you in Revelation, it says there'll be no curse. We live in the time between Genesis and Revelation. And things aren't easy. But there's a God that wants to take us to a new level of glory. Howard and Gail France are gone today and had told me earlier they wouldn't be in this service, but Howard and I went to visit Pastor Bishop before he died in Warren, Indiana. In his older years when he couldn't pastor anymore, and he said it's just too much for him, and he was overwhelmed, and he went to stay at a convalescent home and asked to be the chaplain. They don't know how fortunate they were. Well, they did after he's there a little while. And we went down to see him and visited with him, and he was having trouble focusing, and he said, just looked like he always did, I can see it just like yesterday, he sat there, he always kind of cocked his head, and he sat there and he looked at Howard and I, and he said, I have trouble with my words, but I'll do the best I can. So he'd just smile at you, and you just sat there in silence, and he'd just smile, but I could see the glory of the Lord. And we got ready to leave. Ethel, his wife, follows to the door, and she said, I'll come outside. I'll get him something, and then I'll come outside. I want to talk to you a minute. And we went outside. She said, Tom, I'm going to tell you something that we've told no one, but you were like a son to Ronald. His first name was Ronald. And so I'm going to tell you. She said, 2 nights ago, God sent us a messenger. She said, a bearded man with a beard about here and a robe tapped on the door and said, it'll just be a few days, and I'll be coming for Ronald. And she said, I've never seen that man again. And she said, I've asked everywhere. He was a strange-looking character. But she said, I've asked everywhere, and no one has seen this but me. There's a level of glory. And you can spend your life, thank God I went to an altar 22 years ago and asked God to forgive my sins. I'm not knocking that. That's the gate. You got to go through it. You must be born again. But I'm going to tell you something. American church is far short of what God wants to do within them. And I got to stay on track and not have an ADD message, but there's some reasons for that that are 2 or 3 messages. I think the devil has been so cunning at offering counterfeits. The devil's been so cunning in offering counterfeits that it's made the core of the church shy back from really seeking the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which we desperately need. And it's been a trick of the devil. There have been movements in this area in the last 20 years that, as far as I'm concerned, are phony baloney. And you can quote me on that. But because of that, core people have pulled back, and I'll just kind of attend church and stay to myself, not putting themselves out there to experience transformation. There is the real deal where God will enable you and empower you, and you're outside of yourself. I know, and I got to be careful here because there's experiences I don't believe are appropriate to share. Because, you know, my wife and I have a 40-year marriage and a one-off relationship, but there's intimacies I'm not going to tell you about. And there's things with God that you will see His glory and you will know Him in a way, and you will have visits, and He'll meet you the way you are, and He will bring a glory to you that you will be satisfied with nothing less. I know this, and many of you do too. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's 2 hoops, glorious heavenly hoops, for lack of vocabulary, that we got to get through. It's His will for us to go through. He wants us to leave our sins behind, and then He wants us to experience His glory. It's addressed in this verse. Have you ever seen that in there before? For all have sinned, but they've also fallen short of the glory. You can get past your sins and be forgiven, and that's a marvelous thing, but God wants you to experience His glory that will fit you. Don't copy me. Don't copy Pastor Bishop. God will come in another form, in another way, but He will make Himself so real to you that you'll never be talked out of it. Oh, Pastor, I think you're right. But there's probably 3 or 4 people I can think of that are those types of people. Bishop's probably one of them. I don't think that's really for me. Oh, is that true? Anybody here know Weldon Kleppinger? Anybody in here know Weldon Kleppinger? Okay, Weldon Kleppinger, actually, Tim Hunter was on the Miami County Sheriff's Department for years and years, now retired. It's his father-in-law. Weldon Kleppinger lived over here on Lover's Lane for years and years and years. And when I was a kid, his son was my best friend, Dana. And you may have heard me tell at funerals the story of my best friend being killed in a car accident. And that kind of started my whole journey of losses. And that was Weldon's son, Dana. And Weldon Kleppinger worked at Delco for years. And he was no pastor or attended one of the brethren churches in town. And Weldon was a man that, especially in his older years, had a hunger for God. Had a desire for God. Oh, he'd experienced salvation at a young age, and from all I could see, he had lived a godly life. But I know in his older years especially, he had a thirst for God. Common layman, it wasn't a pastor, wasn't somebody been off on the mission field to Honduras, or... I went to see him in Indianapolis, because I always had meant something to him, because I was best friends with his son that had been killed. I went to see him when I heard that he was sick. When I got ready to leave the room, he was skinny and frail and knees just kind of protruding with really skinny legs down to just skin and bones, and he was close to death. And he slid over to the side of the bed, and I could see by looking his face he had something on his mind besides what we had talked about. He got his feet out of the bed and kind of scooted over, and he got on the edge and he leaned up, and I see him clearly. His jaw was kind of protruding, his face drawn, skin tight around his face. He's really thin. And he said, "Tom." And when he said "Tom" and said my name to begin to what he was going to say, he just about glowed. And he said, "I'm going to be going to heaven pretty quick." I thought, the way he said that, I thought, okay, go ahead. I know it's in the Bible, but there's more to this than this. He said, "I had a visitor last night." And he turned, and I could see the radiance on him when he said it. And he said, "By my bedside last night, the Lord sent an angel to tell me that I was to finish up anything I needed to do because he was ready to take me home." And he began to cry. And I prayed with that man, and again I saw that level of glory. I don't want to fall short of the glory. In Exodus 33, I absolutely love, there aren't words to tell you how much I love this passage. I love this passage. When we had the covering years ago at Skinner Chapel and had 12 guys in that, we went through this and studied this. Exodus 33, I'm going to read verses 12 through 23. Exodus 33, and Moses said to the Lord, I've always liked Moses, "You've been telling me, lead these people." He has all the children of Israel to lead. You know the story. They left Egypt. And won't go into a bunch of background. But you've been telling me, lead these people. But you've not let me know who you will send with me. First of all, I'd just like to say, when you begin to enter into the glory area of getting to know God, there's a conversation that goes on. Your prayers start changing. Now, it's full of reverence. You know, I don't get up in the morning, slide to the edge of the bed and say, "Hey, what's up?" Don't misunderstand that. We can be ourselves. But there's also a kind of a Jesus promoted in a lot of our culture that lacks reverence. You with me? John in the New Testament, on the Isle of Patmos, when he got in the presence of the Lord, whoa. So there's a reverence. So beware of teachings that lack reverence. But I do want to say to you that there's an area of entering into glory where you get to know the Lord, where you can have a conversation with him. And he'll receive it gently when you say, "Lord, I love you to pieces, and I would never leave you. But I need some help with this. I don't understand this. My son fell 30 feet. Can you just give us a clue? You got to be in it somewhere. We're not thinking you're not in it. We just need to know something." You don't even have to tell us the reason that he had this accident on the same day. We don't have to know that, but could you just warm our hearts? Or you can talk with him. There's an area of relationship where he's a friend. In fact, jump back to verse 10 of Exodus 33. "Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of his tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." There's a level of glory that God wants to walk us into where God becomes a bosom friend. You see, that changed the whole rules thing. And I realize I talked about that a little bit last week, but stay with me. It applies here. That changes the whole rules thing. Because I can run around with my little rule book, but if this is based in a friendship, you know, there's some things that, yes, they might be temptations out here, but I'm not going to do that because this friendship is too important to me. Does that make sense? This friendship's too important to me. I'm not sacrificing this for that. This friendship means too much. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to get involved in that.
Yes, that has some appeal, and yes, for a moment, a fleeting moment, that could be appealing, but I'm not going to sacrifice this relationship and this glory for that garbage. You with me? In all I do, I honor you. It ain't about you can't, pardon my English, it ain't about you can't do this, can't do that, I'm Christian, can't do that. You're missing the whole boat, that's how you're thinking. This is about, yes, your past sins being forgiven, but then you start walking in a new level where God takes you into some glory that begins transforming your life. And then when somebody comes along offering you this cheap one-night stand, you say, no. No. I'm not sacrificing. If you think I'm letting go of the pearl of great price for that, you've lost your mind. I'm not. Don't even go there. You with me? Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. The Lord said, Moses said to the Lord, verse 12 of Exodus 33, you've been telling me lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you'll send with me. It's interesting how he's reasoning with God. You said, I know you by name. Moses said, this is hilarious. Moses is reminding God what he's told him. Like, hey, now don't you forget what you said. You have said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I will know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation's your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Oh, that's comforting. Oh, I wonder if that works at Square D and the base and the office that you work in. You suppose? Uh-huh. Yeah. God will walk you into a level of glory. It was a great day in my life working at Kroger's. When God said to me, son, you can keep asking me to be a pastor all you want, and I know you want to be in the ministry, but I want you to find my glory here. I want you to start being thankful for your job. I want you to start seeing my glory here. And I begin approaching it different. Thank you, Lord, for the place you've given me to work. Give me opportunities today to talk to somebody about you. Use me here. And God began doing that. And guess what? When I started experiencing the glory that he had me from there, wasn't long until he opened up a church for me to take because I was supposed to be in the ministry. Suppose God can do that still? The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Rest here? Not in this dad burn place. Rest here? With all this turmoil? God will take you out of the world. God can take you out of the world. You're still physically living there and functioning and communicating with the people and hopefully loving the people. But he can take you into a place of rest with him. I hope this next Sunday, do a little commercial here. I hope this next Sunday to preach on a verse I've been chewing on for 6 months because it was for me. But now I get to share it with you. Banish anxiety from your heart and throw off the troubles of your body. Banish anxiety. There's two kinds of anxiety. There's body anxiety that just kind of messes with your emotions in your head. That's one thing. But then there's heart anxieties that are deep-rooted. And I hope next week maybe to speak on that. Then Moses said, where's Exodus 33:15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Man, I can relate from that to that. I've had things God told me to do. When God spoke to me about taking some recent positions, I said, Lord, if you go with me, I'm willing to do this. But I ain't gonna think about it if you're not totally in this and behind me. I cannot do it without you. Verse 16, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, for I am pleased with you and I know you by name. All right. I'm going to stay disciplined here, but I got to say something about this. There's a level of glory that gives you a new identity. The Lord said, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. There's a level of relationship that he has and has willed for each of us. where there's a new identity in him and it becomes very personal. It isn't dependent on the church anymore. If every organization was dissolved and every church burned down and every church board dissolved and the government wouldn't allow us to worship together corporately anymore, it wouldn't change tomorrow a bit, because it's become that personal, because he knows you by name and he is pleased with you. I will do the very thing that you have asked. And may I say to you that it's a new level of prayer. As you begin surrendering to God and developing in the glory of the Lord, he said, I will do whatever you ask. There comes a new power in prayer. You can just ask for something. Now, if it's tainted and we haven't worked through our issues and it's all about us, but I'm talking about when we come to a place of surrender, where we've given over to the Lord, we've bought the pearl of great price, we're not praying selfishly wanting our own stuff anymore. When we truly can say, not my will but thine be done, and we're chasing and pursuing him like Brian's song said, there's a new level of answering to your prayers. I had God say to me, and this is close to the line, I don't want to cross it because there's things God has done in my life and that you've had too that you're to keep to yourself. The secret of the Lord is with the righteous. But I had prayed for 5 days in Colorado, and on Thursday morning, God spoke to me powerfully and said, you've broken through. What you ask from now on, I will do. And I was surprised when God made me that offer. You have broken through, and the rest of this prayer time, you've taken anything you ask me, I will do. And man, I was encouraged, honestly, with how I responded. It wasn't a childish, like I feared within myself. Sometimes God shows you your heart when you're fasting. It wasn't a childish, oh boy, boy, I got a list for you. When God said to me, you have broken through, the strongholds have been broken, I will give you whatever you ask. I remember where I was on a pine hillside, and I went, oh my goodness, Lord, help me ask the right things. Help me ask the right things. And I'll not take time this morning to go in what happened that following year. Everything I asked that Thursday morning that I thought through before I asked, God did it exactly and over and above what I expected. It was absolutely mind-boggling. I wrote them down what they were. Lord said to Moses, I'll do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. It is pleasing to God when we want to move into the next level. When we sing the song from our heart that Brian shared this morning. Lord, I want more of you. I don't want this. I know that's a shiny pearl. I know that's a shiny pearl. I know that has luster and appeal. I don't want those. I want that one. I want the pearl, a great price. We talked in the mentoring group this week, do you have a divided heart? To become focused, it says in Matthew, if your eye be single, it's scripturally sound teaching. It's everywhere in Scripture. If your eye be single, your whole body's full of light. You're illuminated. You've settled it. There's a level of glory that God wants to take us in. Where there is, look at verse 17, where there's a new level of prayer, I'll do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you. There's a new level of identity. I know you by name. Now look at verse 18. And Moses said, now show me your glory. There it is. Show me your glory. This man had such pure hunger for God. When God just said, I know you by name, I'm pleased with you, and I'll give you whatever you ask, he said, show me your glory. He didn't say, give me $1 million. He didn't say, I want a ranch on the lake. He said, show me your glory. It was pure what he wanted. He wanted to know God at a new level. And the Lord said, this is awesome. I love this passage. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. Oh, boy, I could run off on an ADD there. Have you seen God's goodness pass before you? Oh. Never felt as close to God as I did at St. Vincent's Hospital. Been a pastor now for over 31 years.
Never felt as close to God in a church service as I did in the room, on the rooms, the five different rooms on the sixth floor of St. Vincent's. Because God came in his glory and visited. He's no respecter of persons. Don't put me on some pedestal. God visited Weldon Kleppinger just like he did Pastor Bishop. When you get into this whole thing of God's glory, it's not about titles anymore. It's about identity and who you are in him. It's not about whether you hold some high position. That's not what it's about. Now, he may trust you with that as you get into his glory. He may trust you with that because you've proven that you aren't going to run off and use energy after all these pearls all the time. You just want that one. So he may trust you with that. But it's not about titles and positions anymore. Have you ever sat next to somebody in a conference that they weren't one of the pastors? But as you sat next to that person, you thought, my, what a godly person and how they know the Lord. He's no respecter of persons. Let me finish this out. And the Lord said, Moses said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'm going to cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. So he said, son, I can't do this request. I just told you I'll do what you asked, but you can't see my face. You won't live. Look at this. This is the coolest thing in the world. Exodus 33:21, and the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to cover you with my hand till I pass by. Then I'll take my hand off, and you can just see me from the back. I think that is so awesome. You know what size we are in the universe. You know how small of a speck we actually are. Daddy used to say, when you start thinking you're really something, go out and lay down on a picnic table at midnight and just stare at the stars for a while and don't look at anything else, and you'll realize how small you are. Anybody ever done that? Just keep looking up at the universe and you begin realizing how small we actually are. Isn't it amazing that God would know him by name and have a friendship with him, and then he sticks his neck out and says, come on, come on. I'm still in the flesh. I'm ad-libbing a little bit here. I'm still in the flesh here. I'd like to see you. Show me your glory. And he says, all right. All right, but you can't live if you see my face. So you go over and stand on that rock. And I'm going to put you in the cleft of that rock, and I'm going to put my hand over you, and I'm going to go past, and then I'll remove my hand. You can see me from the back. Awesome. I got to close. But I want to say to you that had he not gone to the mountain, had he not been willing to dig and search for the pearl of great price, would he have had that experience? You know why Mary was the first to see Jesus? Because she came early and stayed late. Yeah. Very early in the morning, it says in the Easter story. She showed up at the tomb. Everybody else ran in, saw all the fanfare and excitement. We have a lot of that in church. Run off. Oh, I sure like this. I like this. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? She came early and stayed late. Everybody else left, and she was hanging around thinking, oh, Lord. You promised us you'd never leave us. I don't know what this is about. And a gardener strolled up to her. Hey, that same guy spit on the ground. He always does stuff unusual, doesn't he? The gardener walked up to her and said, what are you doing? Why are you weeping? And after a short discourse, he said, Mary. Identity. And when he said Mary, she said, Lord. And she knew it was him. Are you willing with God to come early and to stay late? Do you want his glory? It's only half my notes, but I got to close. It's God's will for us to come into his glory. But we can alter his will by disobedience and unbelief and never experience his glory. Now, there are people going to tell you, and this is a whole message in itself. There's a whole bunch of messages here. There are people going to tell you, you know, God, I hear it all the time. Pam, we've heard this. We look at each other. People say this. There's a false thinking out there. Well, God, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. It's going to happen if it's God's will. I don't agree with that. No, God gave us a will, and we're more involved in the kingdom than we think. The Israelites were supposed to leave Egypt and go to Promised Land. But because of fear and disobedience and unbelief, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and God's will was altered. Hello? Now, ultimately, God's going to have the last word. Ultimately. But in this world here on earth, what God wants for you can be altered by disobedience and unbelief. The spies were sent in to spy out the land and to look at Jericho, and 10 of them came back and said, "You might as well give this one up, boys. Oh, it's a land of milk and honey." They're not teasing when they say that, but there ain't no way we're going to take it. They're giants. We can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. But because of their unbelief and disobedience, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and their children took it. Do you know if you won't do God's will, God will have your kids do it? I've actually seen that happen. I've seen middle-aged and older people in church that you could not get a fire under them. You could not pry them loose. And I'd see God use their kids in an incredible way. And I've even said to Pam, I've said, "Do you see what I see?" And she'd say, "Uh-huh." They're not going to do it, so he's going to use their kids to do it. And we can wander in the wilderness and make the choice. Well, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. I do not believe that theology. Ultimately, God's going to have the last word. But there are things that God has willed for you and me that I believe I can fall short of that. Yeah. In fact, Paul said, "Be careful lest you fall short of the grace." See, there's things in the area of God's glory that he would have for your life that I can mess around here and chase this pearl and that pearl and that pearl and not settle the issue and just keep waving my hand and saying, "Thank God I'm ready for heaven. 40 years ago I went to the altar," but we're missing the will of his glory. Does that make sense? Okay, I got to stop. I'm not even halfway through my notes. How did I ever think I'd say all this? You wonder that every week, right? We got to close. God has something for you. Don't you put people on pedestals. If you're the most lowly, quiet, meek person, can be a good thing. If you're the most lowly, quiet, meek person in the world here, and you that strikes something within you, and you get that feeling I had when I hung out with Pastor Bishop, and you said, "I want that," God will do metamorphoses in you, and 5 years from now, you'll look in the mirror and say, "I don't believe this. Look at what I've become. I'm not glorifying anybody, but it's through yielding." 7 years ago, my assistant pastor, who's doing such a good job and getting me out of guitar playing, was in prison for manufacturing methamphetamines and on the front of the paper. And he's here, and he's a spirit-filled Christian that's helping people that are in trouble, and that's just one of many. God's in the business of metamorphosis, but you can alter that. Oh, no, God will get it done one way in there. No, he won't. No. Here on earth, you can alter what God wills for you by disobedience and unbelief, and you can wander in the wilderness. Where are you on his glory? Show me your glory. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your awesome words. I've been personally encouraged to pursue you harder. Just preaching this morning, just seeing what the heart of Moses and what you'll do in our lives. Lord, I see it in eyes as I look out here. The Spirit looks out the eyes. I see people here that I saw it in the service, Lord. I saw people here that I can tell in their heart that's what they want. America's life is cluttered, Lord. It's a cluttered lifestyle. Help us to get that sorted out and to pursue the pearl of great price. The older we get, the more we get like the place we're going. I don't know why that saying keeps coming to me, Lord. I want to become an older man that's full of grace and mercy and has the radiance of Christ on my life. And when I'm around people, it creates a thirst. Build that within us. Help us to become that kind of people. Watch over us this week. And may your hand be on us, we pray. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you.
And may his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious unto you, and may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You're dismissed.